the day. Come for the weak and the strong just to say, all will believe in the power of His name. Cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. The past will be washed. The rivers of grace.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Monday morning. I pray everybody had a good weekend. This morning, I'm going to start off with a few announcements. If you noticed the invitation to join us back on Facebook, we made a conscious decision, my husband and I, to go back on Facebook since this is our last year. It may only be a few months left. Because Trump moved the date of the money exchange from March the 9th to July 14th, which means that we have just a few more months of, you know, before they try to push us in there. We are doing this because we have broken relationships out there, because when we did the news is very polarizing. And it brought a lot of enemies to me. And this is my last ditch effort to try to mend fences. Facebook is a relational. There's different measures of social media. Facebook is relationships. Facebook is family. Your connections to people that are close to you, which is why they're doing this, you know, basically. And then X, which I'm not going on, is for business. X is business connections. The Instagram is for the younger people. It's stories. It's storytelling, really, is what it is. It's all through pictures and video. YouTube is the video, the television side of it. So we're back on Facebook, but it is only temporary, so don't panic, you know, thinking I'm going back on my word. But our plan is working. We have people messaging us that have been hurt and offended at me speaking the truth, and it's a great way for me to mend fences. And we decided that on Facebook, we're not going to share anything controversial. It's only going to be lifting up the name of Jesus and getting to know us personally in this community. Another reason we wanted to go back on there is because of the community. We live in an older community. This is a retired community, which I told you guys this. Almost all of our neighbors, you know, are all over 70. So, talking about the original neighbors. And so we take care of them. And they're all on Facebook. And remember when I went to Knoxville and how they rejected me because I had no Facebook? You know, I couldn't prove who I was, and they got all mad. You know, but the point is we only have a few months left to mend these fences. So I'm hoping to be able to reach a lot of people this way. So if y'all would pray for us and connect to us on there, that would be great for the little bit of time that we have left. Also, I want you guys to know that once again, we are declaring that when they go into Web 3, we're out. And this will be a very sad day for us and for all the people that we're connected to, because people are going to believe what they're going to believe at this point. I've already warned all these people. I have, which I still do on Patreon. You know, on Patreon, I'm still faithful there, you know, to keep them up to date and stuff. But people are going to believe what they're going to believe at this point. And so right now, you know, as this thing is escalating, we want to mend some fences, you know, so that hopefully, I don't know, maybe they'll think about what we said when we approach them with just love, you know, like, look, we're not here to push anything on you. We're here to say goodbye. That's basically what I'm doing. And, you know, I love you guys, and y'all are, I had somebody, actually, I'll tell you about this one. I had somebody confront me, and I told him, I said, look, you're going to believe the way you're going to believe. You know, just forgive me for hurting you. That's all I can say. You know, and let them see Jesus. Let them see that, you know, my main heart is to preach Jesus. And that's what I want to do, because we're going to have the strength to be able to stand, which God did give us a nugget this morning. And I'm going to share with you guys a spiritual warfare tactic that God gave me this morning that's going to help us. Okay, so that's the first announcement. The second announcement is, by the way, going back to Facebook, I am going to do a public explanation probably this week or next week as to why I'm back, because people are wondering why. But we want to wait until we get some more people connected to us before we make the big announcement. We don't want to blow it in the wind. And we're going to tell them we're only here temporary because, you know, and this will be a great way, too, to wake people up to Web 3. See, a lot of them on Facebook have no idea. They have no idea. But that would be a good way for me to just tell them, you know, look, we're only here temporary. We love you guys. You know, we just want you to know how we're doing. We're all doing well here on the farm. And but we will have to permanently disconnect when they go to Web 3 and then explain to them what Web 3 is. And, you know, because this is the beast system. You know, we just want to mend relationships. It's been really great because I haven't been on Facebook in, I don't know how long, 4 years. I mean, it's been a long time. So my family has wondered, you know, where has she been? So since I've been back and I've connected with my family all over the country, you know, they're all paying attention to what they're seeing, which I'm, you know, posting our, maybe some of them's on the call this morning. But, you know, we're letting them know, you know, that we're Garden of Eden Ministries now. See, when I was with everybody last, I was We Are the Bride. And now I'm Garden of Eden. Now I'm married. A lot of them didn't even know I got married. You see what I mean? So we just want to go back and share Jesus before the door is completely shut. Okay, the next announcement is for the Bible College students. We have Bible College tonight. And I'm doing those Bible studies, the hybrid classes, Monday and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. Well, next week, I have to move the Monday Bible study to Tuesday because I have a dentist appointment. So next week will be Tuesday and Thursday. Okay, so the next issue is we have two ladies that are in our Bible college that are in the church as well that have been attacked by the enemy over this past week. I mean, severely attacked. One of them fell down and she busted her nose and had to go to the emergency room. They did a CAT scan and everything. And then that's how serious it was. And then the other one fell down. And I won't say their names because I'm going to protect their identity, but she fell down. And it was very serious to where she had to call her son to help her get back up. And this particular person has been battling the increase of five genesis. And the 5G, to you people that are new here that don't understand all of this, 5G is a weapon. It is a, this is what we've learned over the past years of research, is that it is a weapon that they literally use, you know, to hurt people. And it's a radiation, and it weakens people. You know, the more the increase is, it messes with people's communications systems. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about this morning that the Lord is given me to help us in this warfare, because we are living in biblical proportion end time scenario here, tribulation time. We are living in an unprecedented time to be in the earth, to where we know how the beast is destroying God's testimony. He's trying to destroy the earth, the trees, the grass, the animals, culling our animals, culling the chickens, killing all of our chickens, killing for the bird flu, killing all of our cattle, killing all of our trees through the chemical warfare we got going on. Much less what is happening with the towers, you know, with 5G and stuff like that. So no, I'm not a conspiracy person. I am telling you fact. I have researched this and proven this till the cows come home. So I'm not trying to prove it anymore. I'm just trying to tell you because we have researched this. So the point that I'm trying to say is that our type of warfare that we are facing in this end time scenario is different than anybody's ever faced. And it's with technology, basically. And it's with radiation. So this lady that is now so weak that she can hardly walk or function. And she was on this prayer call every day. is in a very serious condition right now. And I truly believe it's because of that. And I know many people, many, many people that have told me how their lives have changed since December. See, December is when they upped it. December, they upped it. The radiation levels. And you know how we found out and how we knew was the prayer calls, because people called in, we need prayer. All of a sudden, I woke up this morning and I just feel so weak. It's like I can't even think, you know. And so I was like, huh, we had like four or five in one day. It's like, what's going on? So I did some research. Well, guess what happened? Lo and behold, it was at the same time they rolled out the drones in New Jersey. You know, where they were saying about the New Jersey, these sightings, you know, they're getting ready for their space attack and whatnot. But you cannot have the drones fly around like that unless you have an increase of 5G up to 6, 7, 8, maybe 10G. I interviewed that woman from California that said that in San Diego, they're already up to, San Francisco, excuse me, they're already up to 10G. I don't even know how she can still walk with 10G. I can't imagine how bad. But see, this is what I was telling you guys as well about people that get the jab and what I believe the jab helps with, along with X39 and all those technology farces, is where they have the crystals and stuff in it to deflect the radiation. Because that's the only way those people are going to be able to live in that high of radiation is to have that injection to where it floats through their bloodstream and they can deflect that radiation. Remember when I studied X39, and X39 is where they put them patches around your chakra points, and in those patches are crystals. Well, no wonder they all feel better. It's such a farce, man. It is such a farce. But the reason they feel better is because those crystals around those high energy points are deflecting the radiation and not wearing them out. So now all of a sudden they feel like supermen. You know, but the point that I'm trying to tell you is God gave us a superpower this morning. And I'm going to talk to you about it and I'm going to preach it, because we cannot make it without God. We, you know, God has been showing us, like Pastor's sermon yesterday, you know, love not the world, you know, and the one he did last week. I was writing in my journal this morning about how I just love, love, love his preaching. It is just so right on it. But he was talking about, you know, which God are you going to bow to? And this is where we're at, people. And all of you people that are listening later to this, because we've discovered on the website how popular these prayer calls are. These are like, you know, so amazing, going around the world. And it's because people are so hungry for realness and truth. But with this agenda the way it is, we cannot trust in technology to save us. And that's what they're wanting. They're wanting people to trust in technology to heal them, deliver them, provide for them. And all of it's just Lucifer. It's giving people a fake, synthetic answer to the problem. They brought the problem, and now they're trying to give you the answer to the problem, which is their fakeness technology solutions. If we don't have God right now giving us very real solutions to these problems, to where we can exist here in the earth and breathe this foul air that I mean, I'm being serious. And breathe this foul air that we're having to breathe and feeling raindrops coming down on us that feel like it's alive. Seriously. We have to have the Lord right now. And that's what the Lord gave me, was one superpower solution to our problems that comes from heaven above, that is going to help us to overcome in this hour. And since we learned last week about the testimony of God, you know, how the earth is the testimony of God. When I walked outside this morning to let the dogs out to go pee, man, I looked in the sky and I saw all them stars. I was like, you are really testifying. You're testifying this morning. Because like we said, and like we've discovered, the beast wants to destroy God. He wants to remove all testimony of who he is. Let me explain it to you new people. He is trying to destroy and annihilate the human body, which is the natural reflection of him. The image of God he cannot stand. And he wants to destroy the beauty of his holiness, because we represent his breath. We represent his look, how he looks. We represent his presence, the aura about us. Remember, we learned how they want that aura. This sounds so crazy, but people, it is the truth. It is the fact. So the beast wants to destroy the human. He wants to destroy the atmosphere, the sun, which is God's glory, the sun, and then the stars. Wants to destroy the rain with fake rain, fake storms, geoengineering. He wants to destroy our animals by these fake pandemics. So just go around and, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. 3 years ago, I remember reporting on the news 3 years ago. And how many of you remember this? Where they were going to those horse farms and burning down barns. How many remember that? Yes, they did. They burned down hundreds of thousands of horses, cattle, setting fields on fire. I mean, horrible things. Oh, you know, they had this where they just had some type of arson. They don't know who did it. And we have been dealing with this ever since 2020, which is the Great Reset. So the beast wants to destroy the animals because God created them. And this is how we survive, okay? And he's been destroying the trees and the natural herbs. Did you know that you can survive off of just herbs? You don't even have to eat. And the beast knows this. You can stock your house with just nothing but herbs and be able to survive the coming days without natural food. Y'all need to be stocking up on herbs, because that's the one thing really that the beast can't take from, and you can hide it pretty good. Do you know why you can survive on herbs? Because of all the nutrition. I've learned a lot from Dennis. The nutrition in the herbs. But the beast wants to destroy the trees and the grass and all of the bugs and all of the, you know, the ecosystem that's in our dirt. I've learned a lot having chickens, because our chickens go out there, they dig in their foliage and forage, and they'll dig and dig because they eat that stuff. They need it. But because of all the chemicals and stuff, they dig and dig and dig and can't find dig, you know. And then it's, you know, burning the trees up from the inside out through the chemical warfare and everything. There you go, Dee. Microgreens, yes. Herbs and microgreens you can live off of. True. Y'all need to be stocking up on that. But anyway, so what they're wanting, the beast, is to destroy the naturalness and the testimony of God. This is why God has been speaking to us. Clarify your testimony. Your testimony is the last memory of Jesus here. Because the beast is working overtime to redefine who the real Jesus is. Dennis and I was watching a show last night about the American Revolution. They are working overtime to redefine the history of this country through movies, through television shows, through documentaries, especially on YouTube with these so-called ministries, which have done nothing but tear down Christianity for the past 5 years, you know, and all the things wrong with Christianity and taking everybody back to Hebrew roots and where it all should, you know, is all is right, going back to the law, you know, hanging Jesus on the cross again type of deal. Why? Because they're getting rid of the testimony of who God is. If you get rid of his son, you are getting rid of the whole purpose of God. You know, God, when he revealed himself in the beginning of the book, if you look at the Bible, it shows you who God is. In the beginning revealed God the Father. In the middle of the book reveals God the Son. At the end of the book is God the Holy Ghost. This is the era we're in. That is what is going to be revealed today as our final superpower. And we're going to talk about this today because God gave us a gift to help us in more ways than we could ever imagine in this end time hour. So I'm going to title this sermon today, and we'll go ahead and get started because I've already laid the groundwork. We're going to call this the Holy Ghost as our battle weapon. Okay, so let me write this down. As our battle weapon. All right. Now, remember when we did our 40-day fast this year, and which I am feeling led to do another fast. So I'm thinking in a couple of weeks we're going to do another maybe 3-day fast. Anyway, but in that 40-day fast, we asked the Lord, or the Lord told us basically through a dream that he is going to shift our love from discovering, you know, the beast plans and tactics to God's plan and tactics from the enemy's warfare against us, which we know and praise God that we have discovered what we have discovered over the past 5 years, but to God's plan and warfare. So the Lord revealed to me this morning that speaking in tongues is the greatest weapon we have right now, besides worship. Worship is a weapon, which Wednesday night you will see on YouTube. I am playing that sermon again. Worship is a weapon because we need that in this hour. Okay, so let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look this morning at the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is the third part of the Trinity. And when I explain the Holy Ghost to people, I explain it like this. Okay? When you look at a human body, all you see is a body. You see a person, okay? But that person is actually made up into three parts, okay? That person is made up into the image of God. And what we mean by the image of God is the fact that you have God the Father, we have the Spirit, okay? So He gave us a spirit, He breathed into us, He gave us a spirit. Each human, every human, I don't care how evil, mean, nice, whatever it was that they was or are, every human has a spirit. The job of the spirit of the human is to woo that person to God. It is to always have the conscience. You know, they talk about the conscience. It's to always have a consciousness of who God really is. Okay? It's the voice in their head that says this is right and this is wrong. Even the Bible says, even if they did not know Jesus, if they have not even heard the name of Jesus, they will still be judged. How? They will be judged by their conscience. What is it? Did they do what was right and wrong according to their conscience? Okay. So, you also have a body. You are born in the body, like we talked about the plant. You are born in the body. And if the body falls over, you die, right? Well, if the spirit leaves your body, then you will fall over and die. Then you have a soul, which makes up who you are, okay? The body part is clay. It belongs to the earth. This is your earthly identity. It is just a suit while you're here on the earth. Okay, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your soul is what is judged. Okay, every one of us is going to stand before God and be judged. Okay, this judgment that's going to happen is your mind, your will, and your emotions. What was the decisions that you made? You know, what did you decide to do when you had to pick between your spirit who was trying to woo you to God or having to pick between the world who has a separate identity for you and a purpose? It wants you to go with the ways of the world. It wants you to identify with what is more comfortable with the world. Okay. So that is three part being: the soul, which is judged, the spirit, which goes back to God where it came from, and then the body, which goes back to the earth of which it is a part of. Being here in the earth gives you a right to be able to operate the kingdom of God, because you have, when you're a child of the King and you've given your life to the Lord, you are now what the Bible describes as a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Okay, this means that you now have the army of heaven as your rights. You have your inheritance as your rights. This is where they call anti-Semitic, because they do not believe that Christians have the rights of Abraham. We do have the Abrahamic blessing. Anyway, but you have that right in the heavens because you walk in another realm. You're of the kingdom of heaven. So now you have this right here. But in the earth, gives you the right to operate in the earth. So as we have been studying the tabernacle, and especially last week for all you Bible college students, you know that Moses had to obey God. God works with humans that are the clay on the earth. This is why the mark of the beast is mixing iron and clay. Do you understand? Because we cannot mix iron and clay. But anyway, so we are a three-part being. We look like God, and the world cannot stand it. But in the New Testament, when Jesus was leaving, he told him, he said, I have to leave so that the Holy Ghost can come, okay? The Holy Ghost is going to give you the strength to walk it out in the earth. Because remember, let's all go back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament could not walk it out. They could not walk the law out. None of them. There was a few that God took. Yes, Elijah and Elisha, I understand. But in the majority, in the big picture of things, in the Old Testament, the law kills. That's what Paul says. That's why they don't like Paul. One of the reasons. Because of it was hard, and God ended up divorcing them because they kept disobeying him. But Jesus, the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to be the Lamb and to open the door for us to have freedom. Not only is it free from the law, which we do still do the Ten Commandments and all that, don't get me wrong, but it's the bondage of it. Jesus goes to the heart, to the motives. You know, why did you do that? Let's take adultery. Okay. You commit adultery just by looking at a woman. Not according to the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the act of adultery. But now with Jesus, it is the actual thought mind, the thought system. What is it that led to that? Jesus is the root. Oh, this is so prophetic. I feel this in my bones. Jesus is the tree of life, right? So when we are connected to the tree of life, we are connected to the heavenly vine. So he wants to heal the root of the sin. That's where the key is. Ooh, that's some good preaching. Now, so when Jesus left, he said, I have to go back to the Father because now you are going to be the temple. This is where the tabernacle study is so fascinating. Because the Lamb was slain for that temple. When Jesus died, it was the most beautiful thing ever in history. Because the blood flowed down into the clay, into the earth. The veil was torn. The earth shook. The veil that was between us and God is gone. We now have open access to the Creator of all things. This is the Garden of Eden experience. Jesus, when he come out of the grave, when the stone was rolled away and he come out, he walked right back in the garden. When Jesus was about to die and he went over there to a garden, shed his tears, crying out to God for you. Crying out, God, can you please spare me from what I'm about to go through? The will of the Lord be done. Where he was tempted by Satan was in a garden. Jesus went back to the garden. So when Jesus left the earth, he told them, I have to leave so that the Holy Spirit will come. Now God will live on the inside of the temple, just like the temple with Moses. See, in Moses' day, they had to see a physical temple and they had to go in, and God was in the Holy of Holies. They only had one person had access to getting that close. And if he wasn't right, there was nails on his robe, and he'd be dragged out. That was a physical outward look of the tabernacle. And when you discover how the animals were treated and how the outer courts, inner courts, and all of that, you know, it'll make you appreciate your temple a whole lot more. So Jesus says, I've got to go so the Holy Ghost will come. Now, Jesus is left, and this is where we're starting this morning. Jesus left, and he was brought up into heaven as all of his people sat there and watched him go up. Let's start from there. Actually, I just want to go ahead and read you chapter 1. Because it shows you how he left. Let's all go back to chapter 1. Whew, this is good this morning. Yes, it is. Okay. All right. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Oh, you can't make that up. 40 days. What did we learn the other day about Moses' 40 days up on the mountain in the fire with God? That's when God was revealed in the earth. And then what did we discover about Noah in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights? That was the water. So you got the fire and the water. What about Jesus up there in the prayer closet in the garden for 40 days and 40 nights? Bam! Look at this one. Woo-hoo-hoo! All right. Being seen to them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard of me. For John, boy, this is the key, bride. This is the key. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But, this is for us, bride, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Isn't this so fascinating? And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room. Here we go, bride, here we go. Where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Y'all hear them birds singing outside my window? Listen. God is testifying. Testify, O Lord, have your birds sing. Okay. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. Ooh, gross, gross, gross. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that field is called in their proper tongue, Alkeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another man take. Wherefore, of these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day when he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two, who you have chosen, that they may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go in his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, here we go, bride. Now we're at the day of Pentecost. Are you ready? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, I'm going to pause right here, because notice that when the Holy Ghost appeared, that there was wind. Let me read that scripture again. And suddenly they came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. Okay, now, so I went on a little deep dive this morning. I did some rabbit trails in the Word about wind. So I recorded something for you guys. I want you to hear this because I think this will really help you to have more revelation of God. All right, here we go.
North, south, east and west winds within the scriptures. Published by Stephen. A few years ago, while reading through the book of Exodus and the account of Moses, I noticed that an east wind was involved in bringing plagues into Egypt, and a west wind was involved with driving the plagues out. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day, and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Exodus chapter 10 verse 13. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts, and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. Exodus chapter 10 verse 19. So I did a complete search on the directional winds within the scriptures. I found it to be very interesting, and so thought I'd share the scriptures that go into the northern, southern, eastern, and western winds. I'm listing all of the verses by the number of each direction the northern, southern, eastern, and western winds are mentioned. There are far more mentions of an east wind within the scriptures than all the others. East wind. The very first mention of an eastern wind involved the dreams that Joseph interpreted for Pharaoh. As you'll see, with each dream, the east wind brought in different pestilences within his dreams. And, behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. Genesis chapter 41 verse 6. And, behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. Genesis chapter 41 verse 23. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. Genesis chapter 41 verse 27. The next mentions involve Moses and Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day, and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Exodus chapter 10 verse 13. And the parting of the Red Sea. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Exodus chapter 14 verse 21. The book of Job draws a correlation with the east wind and the words that we speak as well as those who put their trust in money. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge, and fill his belly with the east wind? Job chapter 15 verse 2. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. Job chapter 27 verse 21. In chapter 38 of the book of Job, God is speaking to Job, and he speaks of the east wind. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Back quote Job chapter 38 verse 24. The book of Psalms mentions the east wind twice. In the second mention, David is speaking about the account of Moses leading the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, Psalms 48-7. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind, Psalms 78-26. In the book of Isaiah ch. 27, he uses the east wind to describe the end times. In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind, Isaiah chapter 27 verse 8. In the book of Jeremiah ch. 18, the east wind is used to describe the potter and the clay, the shattering of the pot, and the destruction of a nation. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back, and not the face, in the day of their calamity. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 17. The book of Ezekiel speaks of the east wind. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither, when the east wind toucheth it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Ezekiel chapter 17 verse 10. But she was plucked up in fury, she was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered, the fire consumed them. Ezekiel chapter 19 verse 12. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters, the east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Ezekiel chapter 27 verse 26. Much like the book of Job, the book of Hosea ch. 12 speaks of the east wind in regards to wickedness. Ephraim feedeth on wind, and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Hosea chapter 12 verse 1. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up, he shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Hosea chapter 13 verse 15. Jonah speaks of an east wind. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Jonah chapter 4 verse 8. The last mention of an east wind is in the book of Habakkuk. They shall come all for violence, their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 9. From what I'm seeing in these scriptures and passages, the east wind represents wrath. Not only the wrath of God, but the wrath, greed, idolatry, and pride of humankind and the reasons that bring the east wind. South wind. In the book of Job, the south wind represents peace and calmness. Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm, when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Job chapter 37 verses 16 to 17. David speaks of the time of Moses again, and the east wind bringing in the plagues, and driving them out with the south wind. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. Psalms 78 to 26. Jesus used the example of the south wind in discerning the times. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Luke chapter 12 verses 54 to 56. The south wind is mentioned in the book of Acts twice, regarding Paul on a ship. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Acts chapter 27 verse 13. And from thence we fetched a compass, and came to Regium, and after one day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. Acts chapter 28 verse 13. These are all the mentions of a south wind. North wind. There are only two verses that mention a north wind. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 23. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. SOS 4:16. West wind. The only mention of a west wind is in Exodus, when the locusts were driven out of Egypt. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts, and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. Exodus chapter 10 verse 19. September 7, 2017.
Isn't that fascinating about all the different types of wind? I mean, I thought that was the coolest thing. Okay, so now let's look at that scripture again. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them as cloven tongues as of fire. And it set upon each of them. I still reflect of Moses by the burning bush in this situation, being this close to God's presence. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, now let's reflect on something else that's coming up in my spirit. Let's talk about the Tower of Babel. Why did God confound their tongues? He confounded their languages, didn't he? In the Tower of Babel. Because they were trying to come together in one mind and one accord. And we're building this huge tower. That's right, Miss Carla. So they could not work together. He confused their communication. Now, this is the Holy Ghost this morning, let me tell you. He confounded their communications. What the Lord revealed to me this morning through the prayer, and this is the key to today's sermon. speaking in tongues is going to protect your communications. This is your weapon. Your tongue is your most unruly member. God has been dealing with us about our tongue, hasn't he? Your tongue has to come under surrender to God's will. When you pray in tongues, you are surrendering your most unruly member to the spirit. Remember, our body is broken up into three parts, the spirit, the body, and the soul. So the tongue, which is your soul, working with your soul, is coming in agreement with the spirit, with heaven, when you allow it to speak matters on behalf of the Holy Ghost who speaks through you. There's a lot of things that I've learned over the years about speaking in tongues. I've told you stories of how it saved my life. But just for today's official sermon, I'm going to have to tell you those stories again. Because there's people listening from all over the world that have no idea about speaking in tongues, or they have been wrongly taught about speaking in tongues through their religion. Okay? But speaking in tongues is just like the way the Bible is describing it. They're all filled. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's like you are filled with his fire. Remember I was telling you about heaven. You know that God is the fire. You know, and when you run from his presence, you're going into darkness, because that's what darkness is. It's away from the light. The fire is the light. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you are being filled with the light of God. It casts out all darkness. You know, it's filling the vessel with, I'm talking about real Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about Kundalini fake stuff, because there is a fake one that works with NAR, that has a lot of symptoms. There's a lot of people you can tell if they have the fake one. Here's some of the symptoms. I wrote it in my book. If you don't believe me, buy my book called The American Exposé. That's where I first began to expose NAR. The American Exposé. But when people get filled with this Kundalini spirit, a lot of things begin to happen. They begin to be consumed with patterns, like numerology. They're really involved in like numerology. I see 777. I see 333. You know, it's like it consumes. That's one. The second is they have a sound like, whoa, whoa. You know, it's an ecstasy. You know, like you've seen those. Because what it is, when you understand what happens with the chakras, whenever the Kundalini serpent comes up the chakra chain, from the bottom all the way to the top, it's an ecstasy. And when it hits those chakras, you know, it's like an ecstasy point. And then when it comes out the top through the pineal gland, that's where they have arrived. They feel like, you know, they've arrived. It's a state of bliss. They're all trying to achieve this state of bliss. Now, I do believe that a lot of people that get filled with the Holy Ghost, they don't know what they're involved in. They really believe it's what it is. But anyway, there are some signs that they have the Kundalini versus, because it begins to disrupt their sleep. It disrupts their sleep patterns. It can bring in demons, which they don't understand are demons. I talk about this in my book called Shut the Gates About Sex. God had me write a book on sex. And it's called the Incubus and Succubus, these spirits that will come in and have sex with you. It's a real thing. So when they get this Kundalini spirit, it will attract those spirits because they think it's intimacy. I actually put it in my book how God, when he has me write a book, he will have me live it. He will send situations to me to put in the book that I've never heard of, but he wants everybody to know it. One is how people get so twisted in the intimacy they actually have sex with these demons. And they think that it is the Lord's intimacy. I had a woman tell me one time that she meets him every night, her and her husband. And they both do it with this spirit. They think it's intimacy. It's a real thing. But the point is that is Kundalini. It's ecstasy in a sexual way. A lot of it's done through contemplative prayer. And contemplative prayer is a New Age practice where they sit there and they hum, they chant kind of, and they meditate. It's kind of like a yoga deal. They meditate, contemplate. You know, they'll have visualizations in their head, and then it takes them to this state of bliss. It's hard to believe, but it's true. That is the Kundalini spirit. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is totally different. Totally. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it is filling with the light. It casts out the darkness. It is a burning fire when you get filled. And your tongue is overtaken. It begins to speak a very childish tongue. It's not like what you hear people that are more experienced and have been doing it a while. They have a beautiful language, you know. When you start out, it's one or two syllables. Mine was hadi, 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 you know, something like that. But it's very simple. It's a baby. And you grow as you mature in the Lord, because the Holy Ghost, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he will disrupt you, you know, your world. He will. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is a relationship with God the Father. See, the Holy Ghost always lifts up Jesus. And he's always talking to you, so there is correction. You get a lot of correction. These people that live in this blissful state is not the right Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is God. And he will lead you to pray in tongues. He will lead you to repentance. He will lead you to, you know, whatever it was. Okay? But being filled with the Holy Ghost is, it's a superpower. So what the Lord, let me write down what the Lord gave me. This is the word. You ready? And then I'll finish reading the scripture. Okay. Okay. There are some songs I need to sing, and I will sing after we do the word. Okay, you need to pray in tongues more. The attack of the world today is on the communication system within the body. When witchcraft attacks, it attacks the communication system. So I got to tell you a couple of stories about this. The Lord has revealed to me when covens or when witches come after me. And this is a real thing. Is when a witch is near, it messes with my communication. I hear like a a hum in my head, like, because they bring like a state of confusion to, I want to say prophets, because we have an open channel. We have an open communication. Our line to heaven's always open. So it's, we can hear him anytime. You know, there's a free flow of information between us and heaven. You see what I mean? When a witch comes around, it's like they want to block that. They want to stop that communications to heaven. So they'll bring this state of confusion. This whole deal that is happening in the earth today is witchcraft. It is a blocking of the communications line. Yes, jam your heavenly frequency. That is the best way to say it, Carla. Good job. That is exactly what it is. And one time, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was interviewing this guy that was going up for the highest warlock in the land, in the United States. He had served Satan for 30 years. And I interviewed him when I was in Mississippi. This was back in 2015. And I interviewed him. This is back when I was doing radio. I love doing radio. But he was talking about how when he was 8 years old, he went to church and they were very poor. And the church made fun of him, a lot of the kids, about how he was dressed. So he got embarrassed and never went back. When he was 10 years old, somebody invited him to a satanic church. He went and they said, hey, you're accepted here. We don't care how you look. He served Satan for 30 years. 30 years. You wish you could find my old radio programs? Guess what? I believe they're still on there. Let me look right now. I believe... I told him to take them all down, but I don't think he did. And I can tell you almost everyone on there, everyone is NAR. That's where I started. But they are very good. Very good. All right. So all you have to do is look up Blog Talk Radio. And then type in .com. I think you can do / WATB radio. Let's see if it's still on there. It'd be awesome if it was. I'd love to find that one of that warlock. All right, the gateway timed out. So let's do it like this. How about this? Just type in Dr. June Knight interview radio and then see what comes up. Oh, I forgot they're all on Apple. I forgot that I had forwarded all them up on Apple. Wow, look at all these interviews I got out here. They're all over the place. I had no idea. What? They have got me on all these websites. What the world? I haven't even heard of these places. Well, then let me type in Radio X Warlock. See if it shows up by this guy. It's not listening to that radio. Let's see. How about let's just do Satanism. Satanism. See if that was on my title. Say no to the occult. Listen to that sound outside. Aw, that bird is so beautiful. Well, that's how you'll find it. Just type in Dr. June Knight Radio. Here you go. I forgot it's all on. Here we go. Apple Podcast. WATB Radio. Let me copy this. I can't believe it's got all this. I wonder how many they've got on there, though. Hey, that would be a good one. New Age and Yoga. I need to download that and post. I'm going to have to go through here and get a lot of my archives. Well, here you go, sister. I'll give you the look for Parent Gate. Hey, that one was Rachel. That's my cousin. All right, let's see if we can do a search here. Search, okay. Dr. June Knight interview Rachel and see what comes up. No, we'll have to do it later. Okay, so going back to what I was saying about that man. Carla, you done got me off on the rabbit trail, okay? So this guy is a warlock. So he served Satan for 30 years. And so he said he had so much power that he could ask anything he wanted from Satan. Now, he done a lot of evil things for Satan. Evil. He didn't say if he murdered people, but I didn't ask. But he said that everybody was so scared of him because he had so much power from Satan, and he could ask for anything. I want a Lamborghini, and one would appear outside. I want four women tonight, and it would appear. So he had all this power, money. He was so wealthy. And then one night he was in this barn and they were about to sacrifice a child for him to become the highest warlock of the land. So he was over this baby and he had a knife and he was getting ready to go down and do it. But he said that something stopped him and he stopped and said, I can't do it. And there was the room full of people in robes. You know, black robes. And they said, you do it or we're going to kill you. And he said, you're not going to kill me. None of you going to kill me. And he said that when he left that barn, they raped him and beat him and stripped him of all his clothes all the way out of that barn. He had to crawl out. When he got out, he was naked and bloody and bruised. So Satan come after him. And immediately when he did not fulfill the sacrifice that was required for that warlock position, he lost it all just like that. He lost all his money, prestige, all the gifts he had from Lucifer and everything. So now he's out in this world on his own. And he wants Jesus. He's crying out to get saved. So he gets saved. And then Lucifer comes after him with a divine plan. And his plan was, he sent a woman who said she was a Christian now. She used to be a witch and got saved. And she had a teenage daughter. So they got married. And he's all happy thinking he's starting this new life, but she was nothing but a plant from Satan. And then the daughter accused him of molesting her. Now, being that he had no money, he could not defend himself. And they made him do a plea deal. So he said he had to do it because he had no choice. Because of that, he's labeled for life as a sexual molester. And he said he never did it. It was a setup. And Lucifer will come back to him. He'll have his demons come back to him and try to win him back and tell him, if you'll come back, we'll have all that dropped. You can have all your money back. You can have all your women back. Come on back to this day. And when I interviewed him, he was living in a barn for a minister. He lived on a farm, and he took care of the farm, and he lived in the barn, not in the house. But he told me he would rather live in a barn and have Jesus with nothing. Even though he's been, you know, scaled down with society's looks and everything. So after I interviewed him, I was serving his church at the time. I served that church 3 months. And I told y'all how when I traveled the country, I served all these churches for free. I'd live with them, and I would take care of them. I'd do their websites, live streaming, graphic design, web design, everything I learned in college. And then they taught me about ministry, and I would do things like this. I'd interview people and whatnot. And So I testified in front of that church, and I told them, I said, will y'all please give this man a chance? I said, I interviewed this man, and I believe his story. And it helped him in his relationship with the church, because now he wasn't treated as the scourge of society, you know. But the point is that, you know, when he had Lucifer, he had all the witches and had all the power. You know, but when he left, he stripped him of it. And he told me how they will astral project. So what happened was he lost his housing there at that farm and had to go back to prison. And I was going to visit him in prison. And I got probably 5 miles away from the prison, and I was riding in my car. Remember, I told you I had a car with a sunroof on it and my windows down, and that'd be my prayer closet, you know. And so I was just praying in tongues in my own world with the Lord, and all of a sudden I felt like a whole coven come around that car. It was like surrounded me. My head was like... And I told them, because I saw them in the spirit, like I told you guys, I saw them eyeballs that day. I told them witches, I said, I tell you what, right now in the name of Jesus, I command every one of you to leave me alone. You are not going to stop me from seeing that man. They did not want me to be around this guy that was delivered from warlock. So they left immediately. That's one situation. One time when I was in Washington, D.C., and I told y'all the story of how God had to send a prophet to me to rebuke me because I was stubborn with God. Remember, he had rebuked me twice and told me not to do something, and I turned around and kept doing it because I had this, I didn't know it, but I had a spell cast on me, and I couldn't resist type of deal. And God would come to me in dreams and tell me to stop twice. And I tried, and then I couldn't. Well, then he sent a prophet to my door and knocked on the door. And when I answered the door, he said, thus saith the Lord. And then he confronted that sin. So I lifted up my hands. I said, cast it out. Because I knew then something had grabbed onto me somewhere. So he cast it out right there in Washington, D.C. So we went and prayed over some Masonic, the two Masonic temples there in Washington, D.C. One is in, not Albuquerque, Alexandria, where I was living, Virginia, and the other one was in D.C. That one was the Scottish Rite. The other one in Alexandria was the George Washington one, which has the highest steeple point. I think it's 33 stories high or something like that. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, so we went and prayed all day around these two. And so when we got back to the apartment, I was making him something to eat, and all of a sudden, I saw and felt a whole coven come after me. They were all surrounded that apartment. But see, I had pleaded the blood of Jesus and applied the blood on my deck on the edges because I had kind of a corner apartment. It was really strategic. God put me in a tower building called something like Church Towers or something like that. I'm like, boy, you can't make this up. And then I was on the corner, which was prophetic. And then I was on the level right above the entry gate of the building. So you know I took my dominion and authority. Yes, I did. I knew God strategically placed me over the entrance of that building. And I used to have some good Holy Ghost prayer times in that apartment. It was beautiful. God really blessed me. Anyway, so because it was a corner one, I had a patio in the front and a patio on the side. Them suckers surrounded me on the front and the side. They tried to get in, but the blood was on that edge of that patio. So they were stuck. They couldn't cross the blood. So I told them, I said, I see you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave right now. Because when they got there, boy, they did that to my head. So they left. One time, I was doing the news. And this is the day. This is the night before they attacked me. Remember I told you about this story? But one night, I was doing the news. This was in Winchester, Tennessee. And I was uncovering how our military was doing something. I can't remember now what it was, but it was something they was doing. And that night, they attacked my computer system. They hacked me. And I went in the next morning, and I was like, something's wrong in the building. I could feel it. You know, I don't know if they got in, if they actually came in the building and did it, or if they did it remotely, I don't know. But I knew something in the atmosphere was wrong in that building. And I went to my desk. Now, see, I had a part two to a news broadcast that I had to do. Like, say I did 2 hours the day before, and I told you, you know, I've still got too much to do, so let's do it tomorrow. So I had it all queued up and ready to go where I could just go in there, fire it up, and go live, okay? So I go in there and do that, and I was like, oh, no way. They had wiped the entire computer. They wiped it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So that night, I was in the office because I was in between leaving the apartment that I had in Winchester and buying this land and trying to get the shed that I was going to live in when I got here, because this house that we live in now was built in 1953, and it was empty for 30 years. So when I got the land, which the reason I got it, I was standing in front of, they was just selling land. And I was standing in front of the land. I couldn't see nothing because it was just all forest, you know. And I was standing there looking at it and trying to see a possibility, you know, could I do something with this? Because he said there is an old house on it, but it's collapsed, so you're going to have to get rid of it. So I was just buying just land. So I was standing on the road looking at the property, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to give you the Garden of Eden. I was like, this is the Garden of Eden? You know, because all I could see was forest. So I left and go to town, and I get a phone call from a woman. I was praying today, and the Lord spoke to me and said, he's going to give you the Garden of Eden. So God confirmed, that's the land I want you to have. It's going to be called the Garden of Eden. So then I called the man sight unseen. I said, I'll take it. So I bought it cheap upon cheap upon cheap. I bought this because he thought it was only land. So then, you know, this is how it all turned into Garden of Eden Ministries, because now, you know, I got married since then, I got married a couple of months after I bought it. We ended up getting married, and then he moves down here, and then we began building this thing. We lived in that little shed I had moved here, and we lived in there when we first got married, and had to pee in a bucket and had to take showers outside while he went in the house and built it piece by piece. It took us 4 months to get it ready to where we could actually move in the bedroom. And so we moved in the bedroom, then he'd build the dining room. Then he'd finish the dining room, and we'd do the kitchen. You know, and that's how it was, you know, that whole first year we was having to build it piece by piece. And so now, you know, the guy that we're buying it from, he's like, huh, you know, because now it's worth a whole lot more than what you know what I'm saying? Because now he sees the house has been picked up piece by piece. Now it's like living in a brand new house because we've had all new plumbing put in, all new electric. You know, now we've got a new roof on it, and Dennis has put up the gutters, and you know, we're redoing the yard, and he built entire fencing system out of pallets, free pallets. You know, Dennis is the most amazing man I've ever met. I'm telling you, he's a mountain man. That's why I told him yesterday, from now on these church graphics, I'm going to put pictures of you on the farm. This is who Dennis is, and I'm not going to change him. I love Dennis, just the mountain man, country man that he is. You know, and I want the world to see this is the man. I'm not going to try to paint him up there as some businessman, you know, how they do preachers. This is who he is. He's a farmer Joe, you know. So I tell you, I'm going to start putting pictures of you, the animals up there, so they'll see who it is bringing the word, you know. But anyway, okay, so enough of that. But now you understand what I'm saying about how the witches do breaking up your communication system. So what going back to the word that the Lord says, so the attack on you as humans is on your communication system. And think about it from the different ways that comes to you. They try to disrupt your communication systems through chemical warfare. How is that? Through smart dust they drop out of the sky, through chemicals they drop out of the sky, how they, you know, put all the toxins in our food system, you know, and much less what they do through screens or televisions or, you know, whatever else their technology is. But not only that, but your cell phone is one of your biggest enemies, really, because especially if you live in a city, because your cell phone attracts that 5G and it brings it right to your chest, right to your brain, you know. And so you have all this warfare going on out there against your communication system. And that's what radiation does as well. It tears down your communication system. Now, your tongue, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, gives the control back to God, and it overcomes the enemy's attacks. It shuts the enemy up, is what God told me. It shuts him up. It confounds the enemy along with worship. Remember, I was telling you earlier in the conversation about the Tower of Babel, how God confounded their language. It confused the enemy. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost and you come in agreement with heaven and you are praying in tongues, you are confounding the enemy. He cannot interpret your tongue. I don't care what technology or how smart AI is. Because just like the blood, it is a gift from God. Your speaking in tongues is your heavenly language. It is your spirit man who God gave you to bring you closer to God, partnering with the clay, which is the tongue, partnering with your will, which is your soul. So now it is taking over the other two parts, and it is praying God's perfect will, is what the word says. It changes the frequency. Remember how the attack that's happening to us right now is in the frequency realm. They are messing with your frequency. Changes the frequency and the atmosphere. It is a weapon of warfare. That is what God wants us to know. Praying in tongues is your weapon of warfare in this hour. When the enemy is trying to beat you down, he wants to beat you down against your communication system so you cannot hear God properly. And another thing I was telling you about them two women that are under such attacks right now, both of them were with Balance. Both of them live in a city. Both Balance, both in a city. Now, what else was I going to say? Okay. We have heard of a lot of people lately. I told you about how, you know, they're feeling down and things because of the radiation and stuff. This is a real thing. There are people, you know, they're trying to say that they have an uptick in hospital stays. I mean, even somebody, I forgot who it was saying that the hospitals are absolutely packed. They're so full right now. And I believe it's because of they're upping the radiation, upping the frequency. Because that is how AI is going to be powered. I just posted this morning on Patreon about how Elon just bought 1 million more acres in Memphis. How horrible is this, y'all? Was it 1 million? Let me see. It was something big. But it's where he's going to be putting in more supercomputers because he wants that mighty Mississippi. I'm so sad about it. Hold on. Y'all do know they got a new prime minister in Canada. We'll talk about that in a minute, I'm sure. Okay. Yep, and I posted how they're tearing Google apart because of Elon's Everything app. So don't believe none of that. Okay, here we go. XAI, which is Twitter, expands with it. I was right. 1 million square foot property. Wow, look at this woman. She's one of the patrons. She goes, as a resident of Memphis, that is one of the most dangerous areas of Memphis. I am so shocked to hear that they bought that land. Wow. But yeah, that's absolutely what they're doing there. And what they're doing on the mighty Mississippi is they're killing the ecosystem in the water when they have these locations like this where they're doing these AI centers, you know, and you have all of the church applauding them for doing this. Not, they just have no clue what they're really doing. Killing all the animals and sucking up all of our water and you know, releasing terrible things into the atmosphere. I mean, and they wonder why things are getting hotter. Those things are burning. Those processors, that's why they need the water. It's terrible. But anyway. Okay, so okay. All right. So, speaking in tongues is a weapon of warfare. So let's go back to the word here. Verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I was going to tell you a couple of stories about how speaking in tongues saved my life, so this is the time to do that. One time, I'm going to take this off the recording because I don't want this recorded. Hold on. Okay, so that's one story of how the tongue saved my life. And there was another quick one I was going to tell you. What was that? Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One time, I was leaving a prayer meeting, and it was at this very same church that I just told you about on the private call, okay? I started going to that church, and so I was leaving a prayer meeting. This was on Saturday afternoon, and it was about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had to drive, I told you, 30 minutes, and I had to... Right, I was driving in the far left lane, so I was doing like the regular 70 mile an hour or whatever. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, pull over to the far right lane. You're getting ready to have a blowout. I said, yes, sir. So he told me, slow down. So I slowed the car down and got all the way over to the far right lane. And then I saw a car on the side of the road ahead. And sure enough, I slowed down, and bam, the tire went out. So I was able to pull over like nothing. It's why I love the Holy Ghost. He warned you about stuff. So I pulled over right in front of this couple, that an old couple, like looked like they was in their 80s, was in this car. So I just happened to pull my car in front of them, and I got out, and I said, well, hello there. And they said, you have a blowout, ma'am? I said, yes. I said, what's wrong with y'all? They said, we're out of gas. And I said, oh. And they said, we got somebody coming. I said, oh, okay. And so we got to talking. They said, do you want to use your phone to call somebody to come help you? I said, sure, because they had a cell phone this back when they first come out, and I didn't have one, so they had them in the car. So I, you know, called the husband, and I told him. He goes, I'm working on my car. I'll be there later, you know. And so I told him, you know, I'm a Christian, and I told him the story. I was praying in tongues and everything. The Lord spoke to me and told me to pull over, and they said, oh, that's so cool. We're Christians too. So I was like, ain't God good to put us together of both in the time of need? Next thing you know, this other car pulls up, this truck. Hey, I'm here to get y'all some gas. And so I said, I'll ride with you. So we went up to the gas station, the next exit to get gas. And then I'm telling this man, I said, man, let me tell you what God did. He's so good. You know, he told me to pull over because I was going to have a blowout. And I meet this other couple. They're Christians. I'm Christian. He goes, well, I'm Christian too. Ain't God good? So we went back, told them people, you know, they're gone. So he leaves, they leave, and I'm sitting in my car, and it's turning night outside. I'm sitting in my car on the side of the interstate. I'd already been sitting there 2 or 3 hours waiting on the husband to come. And I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, just praying in tongues. And it's getting dark, and then it gets real dark. And then I'm thinking, all right, Lord, I'm getting a little nervous here, you know. And so I'm praying in tongues. And next thing you know, I hear this. This woman knocks on the window. And she goes, is anybody in there? Oh, hold on, that scared me. Francis, y'all can't make this up. I'm in the middle of telling this scary story and then my dog. Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny. Yeah, he thinks somebody's at the door. That's what it is. Princess, nobody's at the door. Anyway, she goes, is anybody in there? And so I roll the window down, and I'm like, yes, ma'am, I'm in here. And she goes, do you know that I was riding past your car? I saw you over there, the car. And I get up there to that bridge at that intersection, and the Lord told me there's a woman in that car. Go back and sit with her till her help comes. I was like, wow, that is so awesome. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. So I go back and sit in her car. And she's listening to this worship music. And, oh, man, me and this woman, it was like I found my best friend. Oh, we cried and cried and rejoiced and laughed at how the Lord is to send us help in our time of need. And so we was enjoying each other. Next thing you know, this other car pulls up. And it's a state trooper, so he shines his light in the car, you know, and he comes up to the window and goes, ladies, what are y'all doing over here on the side of the interstate at night? You know, and then we tell him, sir, we're going to tell you what's happening. And then we tell him about how good God was all day. And then he told that woman, he said, ma'am, I'm a Christian too. Why don't you go on and I'll take care of her? So she's like, okay. So then I get in the cop's car. And he's like, ma'am, I just can't believe your husband would leave you here on this interstate all these hours. And then here come the husband. So the husband gets out of the car, and then the police officer looked at him, and he goes, if I could arrest you, sir, I would arrest you making your wife stay out here all this time. What was you doing? I was working on my truck, sir. So, anyways, it was funny. But the point is, speaking in tongues saved my life. And then I got one other story. One time I was coming home from church. It was late at night, and I had them three kids in the car. I ran out of gas on my way home on this old highway with no lights. You know, hardly no traffic that late at night. So I'm stuck on the side of the road with no help, and I just start praying in tongues. Lord, I need your help. Now I'm stuck here with the kids. Here come a car, pulled right over and gave us a ride home. Speaking in tongues is amazing. All right, so let's get back to our word here. Okay, verse 4. We're only on verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So now we got the Tower of Babel going on again. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. Why? I'm having a revelation. Now the world is confounded at God filling with the Holy Ghost. Wow. When at the Tower of Babel, the world was confounded and God changed their language. Bam, bam, bam. God changed the language so who could not understand? Key, key, key. The world cannot understand our tongues. It's not meant for them. Just like Jesus when he spoke in parables. Why did Jesus talk in parables? Because it's a language his people understand, isn't it? Do y'all know this is why President Trump and the powers that be go after all the influencers? Do you know why that is? And do you know why now that he has opened up the White House press corps to just about anybody who wants to be in it? Do you know why? Because he wants the people that talk other people's languages to relay what he's trying to say. It's called, who is your target audience? See, when I deal with you guys, like when I'm talking to you, I talk your language and the way you understand it. Like Jesus talks to his people the way they understand it. Like a gang member knows how to talk to his own people in the way they understand how to communicate. Y'all understand? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, this is something that the world cannot penetrate, just like Jesus when he spoke in parables to us. It's not meant for the world to understand. Now, let me explain something about tongues. There is two different types of tongues, and this is where a lot of people get confused about it, especially if they've been taught by religion. There is a tongue that is for the edification of the body that is meant to have an interpreter at the churches, at events, at places where somebody would speak in tongues on one side of the room and then somebody on the other side of the room or somewhere else would give the interpretation. That is a gift. That is a special gift for the edification of the body that is separate from the prayer language of speaking in tongues on an individual personal basis. You have the personal tongue and you have the universal tongue. That's the best way to put it. The universal is to help people with an interpreter understand what it is that God says. How do you interpret? I've done it many times. Here's how it works. You have somebody speaks in tongues, usually in a church setting, and when they do, the whole church will get silent because God will bear witness. When the church gets silent, when the tongue is given, it'll get real loud. Real loud, like God is speaking and everybody is quiet in the room. Silent. Then you wait on the interpretation. Then somebody will say, "Thus saith the Lord, I am doing this, I am doing that." Yada, yada. You know, it's him giving an instruction or encouragement or something. That is an edification. And I cannot tell you how many times I have had it just pierce right to the bone of what I was going through. Those edifications are so powerful. This is why I like going to non-denominational churches. Now, today is a lot different because I don't believe the churches are the same. I don't believe... Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even know of a church that has intercessory prayer anymore. I mean, do you see a church where you can actually go to the altar for hours after service and intercede and pray? Where they'll actually see manifestations there of healing and deliverance? Do we know of any church like that anymore? Do we know of any church where he will stop his sermon and say, "I want anybody need healing, come up here and get healing"? What churches actually even believe in healing anymore, just about? This is how bad it is. You know why? Because it started 5 years ago. 5 years ago, they all got exposed because most of them took the jab and they bowed to the beast is what happened 5 years ago. So now they don't have a leg to stand on. How can they ever preach healing when they did that in front of their congregation? And that's what happened, sad to say. So, but I'm saying back in the day when we used to do intercession and prayer, this is how we rocked and rolled. Because they would do a tongue, they'd do an interpretation, people, sometimes they would just give a message. They would just, you know, give a word right there, a word of knowledge. But where, you know, the gifts operated in the church, you know, where people were healed and delivered, I mean, where it's real intercession, the Holy Ghost really had his way there. So let's continue here. Now, this was verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Isn't that something? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" So they were noticing, wait a minute, all these people have different languages. How is this? How can they, I mean, you would think when they got filled that they would all just say one type of language, but they all had different. which to me goes along with their different individualism. And how hear we ever mend our own tongue wherein we were born? See, that's where I believe God bear witness to them. Parthians, Medians, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia. I'm going to tell you something else that happens about praying in tongues that God has used in missionaries overseas. They have asked God, Lord, give me their language through my tongues. And they will pray in tongues, and they will be able to interpret it. They will understand them. I have heard of God doing that miracle with people. So that is kind of like what I see here. Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and other parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing but it's the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. The Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. See, that's what we have to have an understanding of in this hour right now. God needs us to operate in signs, miracles, and wonders in this hour, because he needs a vessel like he does with Moses. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaks according concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and you shall make me full of joy with your countenance. I'm not going to read all that, but the point is, that is what God revealed to me this morning about the Holy Ghost, is that it is your defense. It is your protector in this hour of the very thing that is under attack right now, is your communication system and your brain warfare. It's a frequency attack against you and your mind and against you and your communication system. You know, basically your immunity, okay? Speaking in tongues will change that frequency, okay? So I encourage you in that. So let me pray for you guys, and let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning, your encouraging word, and you've given us a nugget today, a warfare tactic that you want us to know about this morning, the speaking in tongues, and how it benefits the physical body. how it helps the composition of the physical body, how it does more than just what we think it does. And we thank you, Lord, for that revelation this morning. We thank you for giving us equipment to be able to live in this hour, Lord. We worship and praise your holy name, Lord. And this morning, for any person that is not filled with the Holy Ghost that is listening, I pray, Lord, that if they want it, because you're not going to force yourself on them, if they want it, Lord, that you will fill them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and with your fire, bearing witness to them, Lord, of your glory and presence in their life, Lord. And Lord, I thank you by the evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord, that they will see you in a greater glory than they have ever known. In Jesus' name, amen. I just thought of one more story real quick. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, see, I was raised in a Baptist church. I wasn't going there because of my parents. It's just that we was so very poor that I went out to the streets on Sunday and would wave down any church bus to stop and get me. And that's how I went. I went to all kinds of churches, you know, Methodist, Church of Christ, just whoever would stop and pick me up. So, and that's because I had a praying grandma. But anyway, but I was taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. So that's just the way I understood it. So years later, when I'm 19 and I'm get caught up on the Ouija board and get demon possessed after doing it for a year and a half, and you know, had demons and everything, my eyes were solid red, I was hearing voices, yada yada. And then I went back to the Baptist church for help. They didn't know what to do with me. They didn't even know what a Ouija board was. So they prayed for me though, and I said the sinner's prayer there. They knew to do that. And then I just still didn't feel right, so I quit going to church there after a couple of weeks. And then I was out for about a month. And then this other woman that used to be on the Ouija board with me, she called me and said, hey, I've been going to this Assembly of God church, and, you know, they're preaching on the book of Revelation. I just want to invite you. It's on Wednesday night. I said, I'll come, but I'm wearing blue jeans, and if they say anything, I'm walking out. She's like, okay. So I get there on Wednesday. And they were all in blue jeans. I was like, okay, I was thinking all of y'all are a bunch of holy rollers in dresses with their hair pulled up in buns, you know, type of deal. But anyway, not that I'm making fun of them, but I'm just saying that's what I thought back then in my rebellion. And so they were preaching on the book of Matthew because they just finished Revelation. So I saw this old man afterwards, and I went up to him and I said, sir, have you ever heard of Ouija board? And he's like, yes, why? And I told him my story. And I said, you know, I was hearing voices and everything. I said, I don't think they're gone. I don't hear the voices anymore because I said the sinner's prayer, but I still think they're there. So he said, yeah, let me go get the anointing oil. So he went and got the anointing oil. And let me tell you something. When he put that anointing oil on my forehead and he told them demons to leave, honey, they left. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They left, and I felt them literally walk out like, I felt them like that, just go and leave. And then I felt free. I was like, wow, this feels so good. I, like the biggest burden just walked out. Well, after that, I started asking questions. Like, I started seeing people speak in tongues. And so I asked that old man, I'm like, sir, why are they speaking this language? He says, it's called speaking in tongues. And I said, I was always taught that was of the devil. And then he explained it to me. Jesus, you know, left and said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. The people in the Old Testament could not live it. They couldn't. This is why the fallout came between them and God. Jesus came to become the Lamb. That was his whole purpose of coming. He was the Lamb. This is where the tabernacle comes in. This is why the tabernacle reveals Jesus. Because Jesus says, I've got to leave so the Holy Ghost can come. The Holy Ghost is the third part of God. that God is in three parts like we're in three parts. It's hard to explain, but it's how it is. So he came to the earth to dwell inside the tabernacle. We're the tabernacle. He's now, when we invite him in, he's on the throne of our hearts. He's in the Holy of Holies in there. You know, you have to understand how the tabernacle works. Inner courts, outer courts, Holy of Holies. But anyway, so when Jesus left, he said, now the Holy Ghost is going to come so you can live it. And nobody can get saved unless the Holy Ghost woos them. That's what the word says. So when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they're getting all, they're asking God for the next level is the way I see it. And they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's a gift that God wants every person to get. It's not set apart for one person. I've had people say that over the years. Oh, I just don't have that gift. It's just not for me. No, it's because you don't want to do something that causes you to go out of yourself. And I'm saying this in respect here. You know, what that means is I want to keep myself dignified, you know. So I just don't do those kind of things, you know, where I allow my tongue to take it. No, I just really like to keep my senses here, you know. It's a reasoning. They reason themselves right out of the gift. Because when you speak in tongues, your will is given over to God. See, when you're stubborn and stiff-necked, when you're prideful, and you say you don't want it because you want to be in control of your own self and your own destiny, you're not giving God a chance. See, this is where you'll never go further than that. Because when you allow the Lord to have your tongue, to where he can now begin to operate in you on a whole nother level, you know, it will change your entire being. It will change the frequency of your life, you know. And so when you do, it's a coming out of your own reasoning is the only way I can explain it. Because you're saying, okay, Lord, I surrender all. You can have the temple. So when he was explaining to me that when Jesus left and he said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you, it came to the people in the flame of a fire. Now, let's talk about that a minute. Because Moses, when he was up on the mountain and he was before God, it was in a flame of fire, wasn't it? That was his presence. So now going back to my experience. So now, whenever I was demon-possessed, which is what I was before I got saved, when I was going to that Baptist church for help, I was going down this long driveway, and the devil spoke to me because he was telling me all the ways he was going to kill me when I walked in that church. But he spoke to me going down that driveway. He goes, this shadow come over me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet of darkness. And the devil said, you walk in that church and I'm going to kill you. And I got out of the vehicle. I ran in that church and I screamed to that pastor, help, 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 help. I'm going to die here, you know. And so he said, you know, you want to get saved. So I got saved. Now, a month or so later, now I'm learning about the Holy Ghost. So now I'm sitting there with the old man and I said, so you mean that it's a gift for everybody? He said, yeah. And I said, huh. So I went home and I prayed about it. And I said, you know, Lord, I do want all of you. I want all of you. Everything you have to offer me, I want every gift that you have for me. So the next Sunday, the pastor was up there during worship and he got up and he said, is there anybody here that needs healing or wants prayer for anything? Come on up here. So I go up there. And I said, sir, I want this Holy Ghost that y'all are talking about. He said, all right, I want the elders to come up, gather around her, get the anointing oil. So here I was in front of the whole church. The pastor got the anointing oil. All the elders were around me. They laid hands on me. They started speaking in tongues. Now, instead of that darkness that come over me from the top of my head and the soles of my feet, a beam of light come over me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I was on fire. Let me tell you, I was on fire. Woo! My tongue started stammering. This is what they call stammering lips. It's where when you get filled, your tongue just goes crazy. That's what was happening. I was speaking that baby language. But the fire of God in His presence, I was in His presence, the fire. And when I got finished, I turned around to the church and I felt my face literally beam and shine to the whole church. I felt His glory all over me. Let me tell you. So when I went and sat down, the pastor goes, "Wow." He said, "You really got filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't you, Gene?" I was like, "Yes, sir, I did." So after that, boy, I started going around and casting demons out of other people. I started casting demons out of houses, out of people. Yes, I did. Because I knew how the devil really, how he's real and how he, you know, how he binds people up with demons. And when these people are out here and they say they hear voices and stuff, that's what that is. These people that get out there and they do the terrible killings and all that gross, that's all demons. That's all that is. Okay? So anyways, the point is that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that is the burning and that is the light. Because He is filling you with all of Him with the light. And so the Lord does want it for everyone. So I pray, you know, that if any of you guys want to be filled and you need more prayer. Well, right now, how about you just lift your hands? Everybody wants to just lift their hands. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. You fill them, Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet with your fire. Lord, I thank you that it does not matter where they're at, Lord. You will meet them at the point of impact, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for filling them with your fire, Lord. Filling them with your glory and filling them with your light, Lord. Fill them, fill them, fill them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Pray too for anybody that's ever been filled with that Kundalini spirit and didn't know it right now. Come out in Jesus' name. You Kundalini foul devil, you come out in Jesus' name. That false Holy Spirit, leave in the name of Jesus. Any residual effects from yoga and all that vomit, that New Age vomit, come out right now in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. And tell you to leave right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke that spirit of fear. I tell you to go right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for filling them with the Holy Ghost and with fire today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know I've heard stories of people that got filled with the Holy Ghost after they got prayed for? It didn't happen instantaneously, but they would get it later. So don't think just because you didn't do it right now that it's not coming. There have been people in the shower that have been taking a shower and the Holy Ghost would fall on them. There have been people in their prayer closet when they're just praying and the Holy Ghost falls on them. Washing dishes. The Bible says, seek and you will find. If you want the Lord, He will show up. And believe me, speaking in tongues is the greatest gift that you could have right now. In many ways, not just because of the enemy's warfare and the brain warfare, But the Bible says that when you speak in tongues, you lift up yourself. It edifies yourself. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Because the beast, you know, wants to, our eyes try to talk to us. When we see the devastation, our eyes try to get us to be downcasted. This is why it is so great to not have my eyes in the news all day long. I have actually enjoyed this separation that's happening because I am beholding the one I love. I am beholding God. I feel a lot more peaceful. Going back to Facebook, reconnecting with all these people that I've lost fellowship with because of the news, because of me being a watchman, because of me having to be firm and having to be take position in the watchtower. And, you know, having other reject and get so mad and my position politically and all that other stuff. And going back now just in love and in Jesus and not have all of that to where now I can have them shoot at me and me ask them to forgive me, you know, where I can deal with it before I leave here. I've told many of you guys about what God's already spoken to me about. I don't have much time left. So I want to make amends. And I'm hoping through Facebook I can do that. It's not that I'm apologizing for being a watchman. Don't get me wrong. I am still on the wall. I'm still believe in everything that I've said. It's not that I've backed up or anything like that. It's just that I know my time is coming to a close and I want to make peace. I want peace with these people. They're already going to do what they're going to do, and their fate is mostly sealed because they're so caught up in worship and in the image of the beast and all the other stuff. You know, they can't see the forest for the trees because of what they've connected to. I can't help them. I mean, I can't help it. What they're choosing is what I mean. But I can, for my heart's sake, repent. And you know, try my best for peace. And maybe it will help them as well. You know, some people get so mad, you know, when you tell them the truth about Trump or something, they just get, and you become the enemy. Even though you're telling the truth, you become the enemy. So now come at me without that there. I am a woman. I am a wife who's not really been able to be a wife because I've been too much of a watchman. You know, now I'm slowing down and being more of a wife, and Dennis is really enjoying this. Me cooking a lot this weekend. I made the best pineapple cake you ever ate. You ever ate, and your eye cooked up a storm this weekend. You know, spending time with him, you know, where I have been, you know, plowing it down for these first 3 years we've been married, you know. Now he's, you know, enjoying me spending some time with him. But let these people that are so mad at me over speaking the truth see me without the news there. See me without the divisive tone, the divisive subjects. Now on Facebook, I'm just scripture, word, ministry. And normal stuff like pictures of the farm or, you know, stories of me cooking and then bragging later about the awesome pineapple cake. I am a woman and I am a mother, you know. I've been restored to my daughter. That's been a big blessing. And, you know, let them see me for who I am, separate from the watchman. because they don't have much time with me. So hopefully I'll be able to have a lot of healing through a lot of people, you know, with the rest of the time left. They all know. I've already told them. So what they do with what they knew I said is between them and Jesus, you know. So, yeah, I know what Facebook is doing, so I'm not going to be on there talking anything. See, this is what you guys got to know about Facebook. There's a woman that I know follows me, and I noticed on her Facebook wall how she talks. You know, she's doing all this warning and, you know, conspiracy talk, you know what they call conspiracy and whatnot. I know what she's saying is the truth. But when you look at it, that's all her wall is, you know. So I sent her a message. I said, "Sister, can you call me?" So she called me. I said, "Listen, I just want to remind you of what I've told you on the news. Facebook ain't nothing but a spy bot. It is the FBI monitoring all your thoughts and what you're doing and saying. So don't be doing all that. This is a relationship platform. Don't come on here with, you know, I'm just warning you, because this is what they're gathering data on you about." So she let me know she ain't worried about it. She don't care. She's trying to warn people. I'm like, well, I think the time is closed for that. People, it's been 5 years. They made up their mind. You know, use this opportunity where you can build relationships before it's too late. Because I tell her, I don't think I have 3 months on there left. Because when they go to Web3, I will be done officially across the board. And so I am on Facebook going to be doing in the next week sometime an official announcement. Right now I think I've got 60 friends. Let me get a few more people that get wind that I'm on there and they come to me, and then I'll make the big announcement, because I don't want to blow it. But I'm going to tell them all, you know, once I gather their attention, I'm going to tell them the reason we're here is because we're only here temporary, because the door is about to be shut and they're going to Web3, and we as a family, you will never see us online again. Anywhere. You know, YouTube, Facebook. I mean, you may see us on, you know, if we're able to do free conference call, but as soon as they do the, where you have to do the pass key, you know, all of the biometric stuff, that's where we draw the line. So we don't have much time here, but we do want to build relationships. If you have aught against me, talk to me. You know, now you'll see me without news and without controversial subjects. This is the real me. I am a woman. And most of all, I'm a daughter of the King. Just like Miss Kimberly. I love that when Kimberly gave her testimony. I'm a daughter of the King. But that's who I am. So at least respect this. If you don't like the Watchmen, at least like the daughter of the King. Anyway. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. This is our beautiful Monday. It's so pretty and sunshine in here. We heard the birds singing this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and shut off the recording, then I'll open up the prayer lines. Oh, I almost shut the meeting.